This is the Does God Exist Fourth Quarter Journal, 2018. The theme for this journal is Evidence of a Creator. And the picture on the cover is a nebula in outer space with lots of glowing hydrogen gas clouds around the central core. And our lead article is Evidence of a Creator. One of my daily morning rituals is to go to my computer and click on apod.nasa.gov. APOD stands for Astronomy Picture of the Day. And on that website, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration features a picture taken from a space vehicle, a telescope, on Earth or in space, or some system which allows us to see more of and learn about the cosmos. The pictures are amazing. Often they use different frequencies of light that our eyes can't see to bring out the processes and products of the design of space. So sitting in my office, I can see things which bring to mind the words of wisdom recorded in Proverbs 8, quote, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city at entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say." That's verses 1 through 8 of Proverbs 8. Later on, the same passage, starting with verse 22, says, quote, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began." End of quote. It is easy to look at the wonderful space pictures from outer space and to miss the wisdom that those pictures convey. The website features comments about the pictures made by professional astronomers from around the world. It's hard to wrap your mind around the vastness of space. While we see places where stars are being formed, we don't see the incredible number of design features required for those things to be possible. Consider some of these features. Values of force constants. In every basic physics class, students are introduced to the forces that are present in the creation. The equations that describe these forces are well known and can be verified in the lab. Gravity, for example, is described by the equation F equals G M M prime over X squared. You can fill two large sandbags with sand and hang them next to each other, and they will be drawn together. M in the equation would be the mass of one sandbag, and M prime would be the mass of the other sandbag. X is the distance between the sandbags. When you measure these quantities, you find that the equation works only if the value of G, the constant, is 6.67 times 10 to the negative 11th. That constant has to be precisely what it is, or what we see in space could not exist. By measuring the mass of the Earth and the Moon and knowing the distance between them, we can calculate the force of gravity pulling the two bodies toward each other. If the value of G were less than 6.67 times 10 to the minus 11th, the moon could not have the orbit that it does, or it would fly off into outer space. If the value of G were more than 6.67 times 10 to the minus 11th, the moon would crash into the Earth. The universe that we observe depends on the gravitational constant being what it is. This is just one of a large number of force constants critical to the existence of what we see through our telescopes. The electrical forces present in the cosmos are calculated by a law known as Coulomb's law. The equation is F equals K, QU prime over X squared. The force between the electron and a proton can be calculated if you know their charges and how far apart they are. K is a constant and its value is 9 times 10 to the 9th. An electron and a proton have a huge force between them, which is vastly greater than the gravitational pull between them. The strength of this force allows an electron to travel at incredible speeds, around the nucleus of the atom without centrifugal force causing the electron to be thrown away from the atom or pulled into the nucleus. There is a similar equation and constant for the magnetic force involved in atomic structure. Electrons are little magnets, so their magnetic values have to be carefully chosen or chemical reactions would be impossible. The nuclear coupling force also has to be carefully designed to allow a stable atom to exist. The nucleus of an atom is filled with protons which repel each other and neutrons. The nuclear constants allow this seemingly impossible arrangement to work. All of these forces are just what a single stable atom requires. If you would assume that some chance process took place to produce energy that would turn into mass, all of these force constants would have to be in place. A second area is the shape, nature, and geometry of space itself. No matter what approach a person is making to the question of creation, ultimately the creation process has to invoke changes from dimensions outside of our familiar three-dimensional space. This is difficult for us to visualize because we live in an X, Y, Z geometry. Even understanding the nature of time stretches our mental capacities. When science advances proposals like string theory, the equations that describe the cause of the cosmos involve other dimensions. In string theory, the equations indicate 11 possible dimensions. The shape of space is critical to the existence of stable galaxies within the creation. If space had a spherical shape with a small radius, galaxies would be destabilized by gravitational interactions. If space were hyperbolic or parabolic with a small radius, any interactions between galaxies would not exist. Many of the pictures on the NASA website are of galaxies interacting and producing new stars as they do so. The curvature of space and its geometry allow for expansion and the continual production of heavier elements. Even black holes are tools of that production. How far apart galaxies are and how far stars are from each other are critical factors for stable planets to exist. The fine structure constant, which describes how stars and galaxies can exist, is determined by Planck's constant, the velocity of light, and electric charge. Each of these constants must be precisely what they are for matter to exist. Our understanding of how things we see in outer space are produced is still in its infancy, but it is evident that the size and pattern of galaxy existence are dependent on many things being exactly as they are. The third area is the design of electron orbits. Electrons do not just orbit the nucleus of the atom in circular orbits. We now know that there are orbitals which describe how electrons travel. These orbitals are defined by the letters S, P, D, and F. S orbitals have two electrons and generally travel in a circular pattern. P orbitals have six electrons. They travel in dumbbell-shaped orbits, or figure eights, around the nucleus. Each P orbital is at right angles to the other two. D orbitals generally have 10 electrons that travel in an intricate pattern using all three dimensions of X, Y, and Z. F orbitals have 14 electrons. These orbital patterns are connected to the magnetic fields of the electrons, which are in turn connected to the spin of the electrons on their axes. An example of how this works can be seen in the oxygen atom, which has 8 electrons. The atom is designed so that the first 4 electrons are in S orbitals, with 2 in each orbital. The next 4 electrons are in a P orbital, which can hold 6 electrons. That means that there are 2 empty orbital positions in the oxygen atom. These 2 orbitals can accept 1 electron each, so an oxygen atom can bond with 2 other atoms to make a complete molecule. Water is H2O because 2 hydrogens fill in the missing electrons. That gives the water molecule a polar shape, which allows the water molecule to dissolve other molecules. Oxygen is a simple atom compared to carbon, which has 6 electrons with 2 electrons in the P orbital. However, it is the presence of 4 spaces in the P orbital which allows carbon to produce so many compounds. Imagine the complexity of uranium with 92 electrons. It has taken the best minds of science literally centuries to understand how this design works and why it is superior to other geometries. The fourth area is the design features required for a planet to support any kind of life, and life is in quotes. We put life in quotes because we are talking about the normal biological definition of life. Life is usually defined as that which can breathe, move, respond to outside stimuli, and reproduce. We're not talking about rock people or fire people or any of the other creations of science fiction. The number of features that must exist has grown as we have looked at extra solar planets. We now know that many planets have highly elliptical orbits. That arrangement produces extremes in temperature and radiation that would preclude any kind of life. We also know that a life-supporting planet would require many things. It would need to be orbiting a star that is stable over the long haul and has the radiation emissions that would allow photosynthesis or chemosynthesis. The planet would have to be the right distance from a star that is located at a stable place within the galaxy, not near any supernovae or black holes. In addition to the nature of the parent star, the planet itself needs a plethora of variables that must be carefully chosen to support life. Its distance from the star is critical. The perfect area is called the Goldilocks zone, because it is not too hot or too cold for critical gases and water to exist in the proper state of liquid, solid, or gas. The inclination of the orbit also controls how much energy from the star the planet absorbs. The eccentricity of the planet's rotation controls the range of temperatures. The tilt of the planet on its axis controls the mixing of gases in its atmosphere and the equalization of temperatures. The rotation rate controls the wind velocities and the diurnal temperature differences. In addition to those factors, having a moon in the right size and in the right place controls the water pattern on the planet and in turn controls climatic instabilities. The color of the surface of the planet controls its insolation, which is how much energy from its star the planet absorbs. Having massive oceans and dark-colored landmasses is critical for Earth to support life. The presence of a stable and strong magnetic field to shield the planet from charged particles coming from the parent star or charged cosmic rays is also critical, as is the mass of the planet. The planet's mass is important. If its mass is too low, it will lose its atmosphere, or at least certain critical elements, and gaseous molecules. If the mass is too great, toxic gases will be retained, and the atmosphere will be too thin to burn up meteoroids and asteroids. The atmospheric composition is important because clouds depend on the right gases, and having the right type of clouds is critical to controlling albedo. Albedo is a measure of how much light something reflects compared to what it receives. If the albedo is large, a runaway ice age develops. If it is too small, global warming produces a runaway greenhouse effect. The percentage of oxygen in the atmosphere is vital, not only for respiration of living things, but to control fires of all kinds on the planet. The thickness of the crust of the planet is vital because it controls tectonic activity on the planet. Having a protective shield of planets between the home planet and outer space, with those planets having the right location and size, is critical to avoiding bombardment by comets and other space debris. Having the proper ozone and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere controls the radiation levels on the surface of the planet. Having the proper compounds in the crust controls whether soils can exist that allow the proper diversity and complexity of life. If your head is spinning thinking about all these requirements for a life-supporting planet, let me remind you that this list is not exhaustive. It contains only the most obvious values that have to be chosen by, quote, wisdom, end of quote, to allow a planet to exist that can support life. Proverbs 8 goes on to list many of these variables. It also is important to realize that any theory of naturalism or evolution assumes them. Evolution has nothing to do with creation. It only proposes changes that may have occurred in living things once they were already created. When the Bible speaks of wisdom and knowledge in creation, it deals with actual creation. The wisdom and knowledge of God are seen, and, quote, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge, end of quote, Psalms 19. Verses 1 and 2. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Romans 1 and verse 20. By the way, there is a chart we have produced called Evidence for Design in the Universe, which is available on request, or if you're using your computer, it can be accessed on the doesgodexist.org website. Are we making a God of the gaps argument? In the Does God Exist ministry, we try to help people who have loved ones who have lost their faith or who question their own faith. It is crucial for us to know what questions people are asking. It is also vital that we not present wrong or superficial arguments for the existence of God. We try very hard not to be guilty of any of these things. The primary way we do that is by listening to atheists and skeptics and trying to understand their arguments. I personally subscribe to about 20 periodicals produced by atheist or skeptic organizations and carefully look at letters and emails that oppose what we are teaching. Hate mail is easy to discard, but thoughtful critical responses to our message are beneficial to us. One such argument comes from those who suggest that we are making a, quote, God of gaps, end of quote, argument. That would be where we take a subject and look at all the reasons why it could not have come into existence by chance and say that since it didn't come into existence by chance, God must have done it. That is using God to cover our ignorance by filling the gap in our understanding. The God of gaps criticism is valid. There is quite a bit of apologetic material on the web and in books and in periodicals that falls into that trap. Historically, humans have leaned heavily on the God of gaps ideas to invent gods. When ancient people didn't understand how volcanoes worked, they invented a god or goddess of the volcano. To this day, some refer to Pele as the goddess that causes volcanoes. Others believed that Minerva was the goddess of weather and Thor the god of lightning. What happens in God of the Gaps arguments is that when scientific explanations make it clear what caused the volcano or the weather or lightning, the God that was invented to explain the phenomena is no longer needed. Atheists have said, quote, God is dead, end of quote, because our knowledge now explains everything that previously was attributed to God. Any use of design arguments has the potential to fail when our designs turn out to be natural products of chance. There are a variety of ways we can avoid falling into the God of Gaps trap, and we would like to suggest a few of them. Number one, Occam's razor. This is a principle from philosophy. Suppose there exist two explanations for an occurrence. In this case, the simpler one is usually better. Another way of saying it is that the more assumptions you have to make, the more unlikely an explanation is. And by the way, that's a quote from Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Skeptics sometimes send me dissertations explaining how something we have suggested as a product of design could have come into existence by chance. There are always massive numbers of assumptions involved in their explanations. A classic example of this can be found in a recent issue of a major scientific magazine. Quote, in the beginning, there was nothing but cold and dark between the atoms that became the solar system. No sun existed 4.6 billion years ago, only a gossamer cloud of remains from earlier stars, stocked with elements forged in previous cataclysms beyond our comprehension. And then something happened. Maybe a passing celestial nomad's gravity nudged the cloud, or maybe a more distant star exploded, loosening a wind that ruffled the atoms just as a breeze can push leaves into a pile. End of quote. That's from Scientific American, June of 2018. Suggestions like this are not a report of history, but they could be proposals that can lead to scientific investigations. At the very best, they are a guess as to how God may have molded what he had already created into what we see today. This leads us to the second reason our arguments are not just God of Gaps arguments. Number two, statistical analysis eliminates God of the Gaps claims. The fact that you can propose a model of how something could have happened does not mean that your model is in fact what took place. The next step in arguing that God is the creator is to ask what is statistically reasonable. The definition of Occam's razor points out that the more assumptions you have to make, the more unlikely the explanation is. In the famous case of Darwin's finches, there were only one or two assumptions involved. But evolutionary explanations of specializations in living things always involve massive numbers of assumptions. As F. Legard Smith pointed out in his book Darwin's Secret Sex Problem, to explain a major leap in evolutionary change from asexual to sexual reproduction, the number of assumptions involved would be huge. What is an acceptable probability? On a common sense level, it is not very high. Jumping out of an airplane with no parachute of any kind is an example we have used in our presentations. An American Parachute Club member at one time gave the odds as 1 in 10 million for jumping out of a plane at 10,000 feet and surviving, having no parachute. If I offered you $1 million to do that, would you feel the odds are good enough? The classic response to this suggestion is to say that in matters we are discussing, the element of time makes the parachute analogy meaningless. The usual response is, quote, if you have infinite time, then anything can happen, end of quote. That is debatable, but more to the point is that we don't have infinite time for anything that involves the physical cosmos. If you were talking about the odds of an animal having a specific characteristic, you have only the length of time that the species exists. If you were talking about a feature of humans, you only have the length of time that humans have existed. Apologists have quoted biologists and Nobel Prize winners as giving odds of 1 chance in 10 to the 160th power for events leading to the formation of life. That translates into 10 to the 234th power years, and no scientist suggests that the universe is that old. Accepting odds that are in this range of magnitude to avoid the simple concept that intelligence guided the processes is unreasonable. Yet we see today an indication of pure bias against what is a reasonable alternative to chance. Number 3, having 2 choices as the answer to a cause is not a, quote, God of the gaps, end of quote, argument. Many arguments for the existence of God take a phenomena and provide a base which says that there are 2 possible explanations. Either it was a product of mechanical processes, which now or in the future we will be able to explain by naturalistic processes, or it is a product of an intelligence that designed and or directed the process. When we look at how sexual reproduction came into existence, either it is a natural evolutionary process that we can understand now or in the future, or an intelligence designed it. The problem with naturalistic explanation is that there are multiple parts which all must work and work together to allow reproduction to occur. In human reproduction, for example, you have to explain the evolutionary development of each part of the male and female organs that enable sexual reproduction to occur. If any one of them isn't there, isn't functioning well, or isn't timed correctly, sexual reproduction will not happen. Not only do the mechanical parts have to work together at the right time, but also the chemical agents and brain components that motivate bringing the egg and the sperm together. That is only after each of them has evolved to a point of being fertile. As science examines the evidence, the complexity of the reproductive system has made it more and more difficult to fit into any evolutionary scenario, but that choice is one option. The other alternative is that all of this has been planned and intelligently designed. That would mean it has been designed not only to make the fertilization and implantation happen, but also to give the joy, pleasure, and bond that sexual reproduction uniquely brings to humans. This is not an invention of a god to fill in gaps of understanding, but it's a choice as to what the evidence best supports. Number 4, multidisciplinary evidence denies, quote, God of the gaps challenges. Many arguments for the existence of God have multiple lines of evidence to support the claim that God is the creator. As an example of this, we can examine the evidence that humans are not just animals driven by evolutionary forces in the environment. Anatomy shows that the human brain is not exceptional in size, organization, or function, even though our ability to think and reason far exceeds that of any animal. The evidence from environmental science shows that modifications of the environment is unique to humans. The evidence from philosophy shows that humans are often willing to die for something that does not promote their existence or the existence of their progeny. That is a uniquely human trait. The evidence from psychology shows many human actions that have no survival value, such as creating art, practicing religion, feeling guilt or sympathy, or being able to be taught to think. Political science offers perspectives on human behavior that are unique to us and how we organize our society. In many of these areas of study, there is great debate among researchers as to how these characteristics developed and why. Once again, the assumptions involved are enormous. But because the evidence comes from many disciplines, no singular cause can be described to these characteristics. And number 5, religious experience denies God of the Gap's challenges. By religious experience, we are referring to where our conclusion about the existence of God takes us. We can consider humans a special creation of God, uniquely created in His image, or as animals entirely produced by chance processes in our environment. What difference does it make? It makes a world of difference. We express our spiritual makeup in a huge number of ways, including worship, experience, participation in humanitarian activities, prayer, and belief in an eternal purpose for our existence. Thinking of ourselves as mechanically driven animals results in animal responses based on survival of the fittest. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, quote, "There is no reason why the stronger and smarter should continue to be constrained by a value that is obviously not in their interest." That's from G.P. Grant's book, English Speaking Justice. Peter Singer, the Ira W. DeCamp Professor of Bioethics at Princeton University, advocates terminating humans who have low potential for success. Singer says, quote, "How good does life have to be to make it reasonable to bring a child into the world? We spend most of our lives with unfulfilled desires, and occasional satisfactions that are all most of us can achieve are insufficient to outweigh these prolonged negative states. If we could see our lives objectively, we can see that they are not something we should inflict on anyone." End of quote. That's a New York Times article, June 6, 2010. There are definite results that come from one's view of whether God exists. We don't invent a God to explain what we see in the creation. We look at the spiritual as a vital contributor to the understanding of our own purpose for existing. Our religious belief determines our relationship to one another. Our belief system allows us to learn from the creation. What we see in the wisdom, planning, and love of God enables us to be good managers of what God has given us. "And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it" has a whole different message than survival of the fittest. We don't need a God of the Gaps argument. The bottom line is that our religious beliefs are not something we invented because we don't know why we exist. They are the reason for our existence. Lessons from the fire. Many of us will remember the summer of 2018 as the Summer of Fire. The Does God Exist ministry was involved in August with a public lectureship in Chester, California. Chester is just east of Redding, California, which is on the edge of the worst of the wildfires that California experienced in 2018. The entire time that we were in California, we were under a cloud of smoke from the fires. Travel was difficult because many state highways were closed and others were crowded with firefighting equipment. Right after the fire, west of Redding was brought under control, we were allowed to drive through the area that experienced what was called a fire tornado. The destructive fires in California were almost entirely human-caused. Over the years, there has been no effort to thin trees or to dispose of the biomass that has accumulated. Before humans came on the scene, small fires and other natural processes prevented the biomass from growing to dangerous levels. With no thinning of trees, there are now more trees in the United States than have ever existed, according to Keith Kramer, an expert on forest management from the University of California, Berkeley. When the fire started in the conifer woods area, it grew so big and so hot that winds of over 200 miles an hour fanned the flames. The temperature rose to over 2,000 degrees, and a swath over a mile wide tore through the area around Highway 299, which we drove through when it reopened. We saw power lines and cars melted by the heat. The soil was so baked that it was like flour. The land was sterile. There are many lessons to learn from the fires. Some have to do with managing the resources that God has given us. Some have to do with how we respond to what God has done and what God commands us to do. Lesson number 1, God's command for us to manage and care for what he created must be done carefully and intelligently. In Genesis 1:26-28, God told Adam and Eve, quote, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, end of quote. We read in Genesis 2:15 that God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, end of quote. We have the responsibility to take care of what God has given us, and superfires are a consequence of not doing that well. Building houses in fragile environments is not doing what God told us to do. When we are unwilling to apply the knowledge we have, we can't expect God to protect us from the consequences of our stupidity and selfishness. Today we know that pollution causes cancer, but we continue to pollute. We know the volcanoes are going to erupt in tectonically active places, but we continue to build in areas we know will suffer from volcanic activity. We know about earthquake-prone areas, like those along the fault system in California, but we continue to build in those areas. We know the sea will rise, but we continue to build cities like New Orleans below sea level. How can we blame God for our recklessness? Lesson number two. Fire purifies and sterilizes. I was talking to a friend who lives in an area where wildfires have taken a huge toll and where the ground is like flour. I was complaining about the weed problem I was having in my yard, and he said to me, quote, send me a bucket of weeds. Any kind of living plant is welcome here, quote. In ancient times, fire was the primary tool of cleansing. The Amalekites were constant enemies of the Israelites and of God. Secular history confirms that every vice of humans today was present among the Amalekites. Drugs, sexual perversions of all kinds, violence, eating of anything, even if raw, and drinking of raw blood were all part of their lifestyle. The diseases caused by those abuses ran wild in that nation of people, and forensic tools of our day can verify many of those diseases. How do you rid a population of such consequences of lifestyle? The flower-like ground of wildflies in California is a testimony to how effective fire is as a cleansing agent. It is hard for us to stomach the commands of God to sterilize populations like the Amalekites rather than allow social interactions between them and Israel. But God had no choice. Human rejection of God's laws creates tragic situations even today. Fire purifies gold because gold has a low melting point and can be separated from all kinds of impurities. 1 Corinthians 3:13 tells us that every person's work shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In the next life, fire will not be needed because all impurity will have been burned up in this life. Lesson number three, fire transforms. There are two different Hebrew words used in the Old Testament to describe burning. One is the Hebrew saraph, S-A-R-A-P-H, which is used in cases such as lesson two above. Genesis 11:3 talks about burning brick. Deuteronomy uses this word when talking about burning idols or groves of trees. You can see that in Deuteronomy 7:5, 7:25, 9:21, 12:3, and 13:16. The other Hebrew word used most commonly in reference to burning incense is qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. See 2 Kings 12:3, 14:4, 15:4, and 22:17, and so forth. In Leviticus, the word qatar is used in discussions of the priestly duties. See Leviticus 1:9, and again in verses 13, 15, 17, and in chapters 2-9. In the New Testament, fire is used to convey the transforming nature of Jesus Christ. You can see that in Revelation 4:5, Revelation 8:8 and 10, Revelation 19:20. The easiest way to understand how we become changed when becoming Christians is to observe how fire changes everything it touches. In Acts 2, verses 3 through 4, we see the apostles were together and, quote, there appeared upon them clove tongues like that of fire, and it sat on each of them, end of quote. These men were transformed, just as burnt offerings of the sacrifice were changed. Their lives would never be the same. The California fires have changed everything in those places where they have been. People will live and build differently, and hopefully new growth will happen where the old was before. In our lives, we need to burn up the bad stuff and make way for the new. When the bad has been burned up, there is room for new teaching and new understanding. Romans 6:4 says it well, quote, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the Father's glorious power, we also should live an entirely new life." Scientists and God. Atheists attempt to suggest that scientists are intelligent people who have rejected faith and do not believe in God. The fact is that some of the most productive scientists who have ever lived were believers in God. And in this column, we share some of their thoughts with you. And our scientist for this issue is Gregory Mendel, who has sometimes been called the father of modern genetics. Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection in various forms. He appeared to Mary Magdalene so that they might take him for a gardener. Very ingeniously, this manifestation of Christ is to our minds difficult to penetrate. He appears as a gardener. Gardener plants seedlings and prepared soil. The soil must exert a physical and chemical influence so the seed of the plant can grow. Yet this is not sufficient. The warmth and light of the sun must be added together with rain in order that growth may result. The seed of supernatural life, of sanctifying grace, cleanses from sin, so preparing the soul of man. And man must seek to preserve this life by his good works. He still needs the supernatural food, the body of the Lord, which received continually develops and brings to the completion of the spiritual life. So natural and the supernatural must unite to the realization of the holiness to the people. Man must contribute his minimum work of toil, and God gives the growth. To truly see the talent, the grace of God is there. And man has simply to work, take the seeds, to bring them to the bakers, so that we may have life and have it abundantly. By the way, Mendel was an Augustinian friar, and above was taken from an Easter sermon which he delivered. There have been many outstanding scientists who were leaders in their church of faith. That is true today, but it has been true throughout history. Cynthia's Corner, Scientific Evidence for God. This quarterly's theme is Scientific Evidence for God, a subject in which I have no expertise. However, I do know that whenever God's Word speaks on any topic of human knowledge, it has never been proven wrong. Genesis 1:1 says, quote, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," end of quote. God began the beginning. He created time, space, and matter energy. So whatever God chooses to tell us in His Word about His creation and our place in it must be true and accurate. God has given us the intelligence to discover and verify the accuracy and truthfulness of the Bible, even if it takes us many centuries to do so. An excellent example of this is that the Bible tells us that the heavens are, quote, "stretched out," end of quote, Isaiah 42:5 and Isaiah 45:12 and Jeremiah 10 and verse 12. Only recently has science recognized the accuracy of that statement. Scientists and the Bible are never in conflict and never can be because God created everything and God gave us the Bible. As a non-scientific layperson, my faith in God and in His Word is not based solely on scientific evidence. I can observe in the world around me the many evidences of intelligent design. When we analyze the complexity and order of God's creation, it's impossible to believe it happened by chance. Romans 1:19 through 20 says, "We can know there is a God through the things He has made. There is awesome beauty, diversity, complexity, and design in all we see. Those things require an intelligent designer, creator. But there are also evidences for God that are not dependent upon scientific knowledge and observations of nature. My faith in God, Jesus, and His Word is more personal than that. Reading the Bible is like seeing ourselves in a mirror, God's mirror. It not only shows us an external image, but it reveals our inner being, our innermost thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. It cuts to our heart, to our soul, to our true self. Read Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. The Bible reveals our nature, our sinful human nature, so honestly and deeply that we can't deny it or hide from it. God made us and knows us better than we know ourselves, but He doesn't leave us there. God loves us and wants to forgive and change us. His power living in us makes us better than we can be on our own. An example of a truly transformed Christian life from the inside out is a powerful testimony to God's existence. Dandy Designs. Why don't roosters go deaf? Roosters are loud. They can have volumes as high as 140 decibels, which is the level of sound on an aircraft carrier deck. For humans, the noise above 120 decibels, about the level of a chainsaw, can cause permanent hearing damage. So you may wonder why roosters don't go deaf. Belgian researchers writing in the journal Zoology have the answer. They examined the skull structure of the birds. The researchers found that they have a built-in defense against loud sounds in the form of a sound barrier. When a rooster adjusts its head and neck to crow, small flaps of tissue close the ear canal. They effectively act as earplugs to dampen the noise significantly. On top of that, the study reveals that roosters can regenerate the teeny hair cells deep within the ear that can become damaged by loud noises. Humans can't do that, which is why deafness caused by loud sounds is permanent for us. For roosters, a degree of deafness would likely be only temporary if it happened at all. Micro-CT scans of a rooster and chicken head show that in roosters, the auditory canal closes when the beak is opened, the researchers wrote. In hens, the diameter of the auditory canal only narrows but does not close completely. A morphological difference between the sexes in the shape of a bursa-like slit which occurs in the outer ear canal causes the outer ear canal to close in roosters but not in hens. That's all a quote from the researchers doing that study. So now you know why roosters don't go deaf. God's design in every living thing on earth shows wisdom and an exceptional understanding of the problems that each species faces. The more we learn about the creation, the more we understand the wisdom and creative nature of God. We can know there is a God through the things He has made. News and notes. The stories in news and notes are condensed from articles previously published on our website, www.doesgodexisttoday.com. There are many other interesting and informative articles on that website each day. We encourage you to follow us daily on Does God Exist Today? On that website, you can also subscribe to our free weekly email update. We call it the Best of the Week from Does God Exist. It contains links to the most popular of our posts on Does God Exist Today and our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/evidence. For God, and the four there is the number four. American marijuana attitude. A recent study showed that most Americans view marijuana favorably, thinking that it has significant benefits and few risks. Science does not support the new American marijuana attitude. The journal Annals of Internal Medicine published a new study on July the 23rd. The researcher conducted an online survey of more than 9,000 people from all over the United States. They found that 81% of U.S. adults believe that marijuana has at least one benefit. The most common benefit mentioned was pain management. Other supposed benefits in people's hands were the treatment of disease and relief from anxiety, stress, and depression. At the same time, 91% of the respondents believe that marijuana has at least one risk. The most common risk mentioned was not medical problems, but legal. They also mentioned addiction and impaired memory. The bottom line is that the American public sees marijuana as having few health risks and significant health benefits. In the meantime, the public is ignoring cost in health care, addiction treatment, traffic enforcement, and traffic deaths. Since Washington State legalized recreational marijuana in 2012, the percentage of drivers involved in fatal crashes who had traces of marijuana in their blood has doubled. One of the problems involves trying to set a legal limit for marijuana because its effect on the body is very different from alcohol. Blood alcohol level reliability predicts impairment. The level of THC, which is the chemical in pot, in the blood, is not a critical factor until it enters the tissue of the brain, where it has its effect. The THC blood level may be lower when the brain is most affected. Getting high on marijuana makes changes in the human brain, and smoking the weed has many of the same health dangers as smoking tobacco. It seems clear that the American marijuana attitude is changing, but it is also clear that we need to step back and think more clearly before our thinking becomes blurred by pot. Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Atheists have made remarkable progress toward removing all vestiges of religion from all branches of the military services during the last 10 years. The leading group in this effort called themselves the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. This foundation has a capable spokesman in Mickey Weinstein. He has said that the group wants to combat, quote, gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize Americans, end of quote. Recently, Weinstein fought to remove the Bibles that are placed on tables commemorating POWs and MIAs from recent conflicts. He argued that the Bible on the table, quote, significantly disturbed at least 36 men and women at Warren Air Force Base, end of quote. The commander of the base, Colonel Stacy Hooser, agreed and ordered that the generic Book of Faith would replace the Bible. That book contains statements from 5 Department of Defense-approved faith groups and a set of blank pages to represent the non-religious. Since Christians provided the commemorative tables, it seems that groups not wanting to have a table with the Bible on it should have their own table, and that with whatever book they want to wish to have or none at all. How can this group call itself the Military Religious Freedom Foundation? The point is that continued hostility to Christianity in the military erodes morale and contributes to needless confrontations between people whose attention needs to be turned towards their common goal, not their differences. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council wrote, quote, just think, if our servicemen and women are traumatized by a Bible, how are they going to handle war? Digital to biological converter. The speed of scientific advancement in genetics and the use of computers in biochemistry is astounding. Scientists mapped the human genome in 2001. In May of 2018, Synthetic Genomics announced they had created a working digital to biological converter. This converter turns digitized DNA code into synthetic biological material such as proteins. The process is called, quote, Gibson assembly, end of quote, and can produce small pieces of DNA code and stitch the pieces together into DNA strands. The exciting part of this new technology is that it could allow doctors to personalize medications to the individual needs of patients. Oncologists could create a medicine specifically targeted to a patient's tumor. It has the potential to develop vaccines to fight an epidemic quickly. The prototype machine is too large and too inefficient to be practical, but Synthetic Genomics hopes to have it available to medical researchers in 3 to 5 years. Many of the health problems we have today, whether genetic or otherwise, have been caused by what we have done to ourselves and our environment with various chemicals and carcinogens. Some might say that we are, quote, playing God, end of quote, by creating synthetic genetic material. But if we have a way to correct the damage that our ancestors and we have done and relieve pain and suffering, we certainly should do it. The complexity of the digital to biological converter and the material that it produces tells us more about God's wisdom in the original construction of life. Mysterious Space Visitor. In October of 2017, astronomer Robert Work, using a telescope in Hawaii, discovered an object careening through our solar system from somewhere in interstellar space. Astronomers assumed it was an asteroid from some other stellar system in our galaxy. UFO promoters saw it as a spaceship from some other star system that was spying on our planet. The name given to it is Umaumau, which is Hawaiian for scout. The object was quite narrow and seemed to be less irregular than most asteroids. Closer examination has shown that the surface of the object is a reddish color, which is typical of some comets which have a crust covering an icy interior. Its size is approximately 800 by 100 feet. Studies of the trajectory of Umaumau show it is tumbling and changing directions in a way that indicates a force other than the sun's gravity working on it. Naturally, the UFO promoters were overjoyed, saying this proves that alien spacecraft are all around us, and we just happened to catch this one. The SETI Institute used its powerful Allen telescope array to examine the object, but detected no radio signals indicating intelligence. The problem with the UFO idea is that the change in direction is much smaller than what rockets on a spacecraft would cause. After much study, astronomers concluded that Waumaumau is a comet. When comets get near the sun, they spew gases from their interior. This shedding of gases always has some effect on the trajectory of the comet. The amount of change in Waumaumau's trajectory is consistent with the effect of a comet's gas jets. As we have emphasized before, the Bible doesn't say the Earth is the only place in the universe where God shows fit to create life. At present, however, there is no credible evidence that there is life elsewhere. The idea of alien visitation is pure speculation with no evidence to support it. Nitrogen mystery solved. The mystery is how nitrogen gas gets into the soil. Plants need nitrogen, and need it in the form of nitrates and other compounds essential to plant growth. But plants can't absorb the nitrogen directly from the air. In high school, we learned about nitrogen fixation, and we're told about nitrogen fixing bacteria and the role of lightning in transforming atmospheric nitrogen into forms that can be used by plants. Plant scientists have known that this model is not complete. The nitrogen cycle clearly has some missing parts, and our knowledge of how nitrogen gets into the soil was obviously lacking. Scientists have now discovered that a significant portion of getting nitrogen to plants involves seeping through bedrock. Nitrogen becomes trapped in sedimentary rocks in the oceans. When tectonic activity lifts the sedimentary rocks so they are at the surface of the earth, they begin to release their nitrogen to the soils above them. The complexity of Earth's various cycles to allow for plant growth and to provide for human needs is astounding. Even such a fundamental question as the nitrogen mystery is still revealing God's wisdom in planning and providing a life-supporting planet for us to live. Growing interest in astrology. While more and more Americans are denying faith in God, belief in astrology, witchcraft, and sorcery is growing. Astrology academies and internet uses of natal charts have produced thousands of podcasts, Facebook pages, YouTube channels, mobile apps, newsletters, and streaming videos. Data crunchers tell us that there are more than 2 million websites on astrology. Richard Smoot, speaking for the International Society for Astrological Research, said, quote, "So much is going on in people's lives these days, so much pressure to act or react, and they simply want to sort things out," end quote. Astrologers claim that people in crisis are drawn to astrology because they want guidance in matters of love, finance, and career. The astrology site CoStar says, quote, "This generation has wrapped itself in a blanket of the zodiac to try and make sense of a world that seems to be coming apart at the seams," end of quote. There is growing interest in astrology among millennials. In today's world, when people reject the Bible and its teachings, they are left with no help in making critical decisions. In that void, they seek out unhealthy and destructive substitutes. There may be a growing interest in astrology as a place for people to find answers in life, but it is as harmful and misleading as ever. China forces atheism. Since coming to power in 2012, President Xi Jinping has launched a drive to subjugate both Islam and Christianity to government control and to limit their activity. China forces atheism by installing Chinese flags wherever there is a minaret or a cross, and pressuring people to embrace the atheist Communist Party. There has been a dramatic expansion of China's surveillance apparatus using facial recognition and artificial intelligence to weed out religious leaders and to reward loyalty to the atheist Communist Party. It is going to be important for religious leaders and missionaries in China to use apologetic material like ours to combat the government propaganda machine. The volume of mail we are getting from Chinese students has dramatically increased. One student suggested that if we would learn Chinese, we couldn't handle all the opportunities there would be to teach the gospel. As China forces atheism, we are working on that idea. As we finish this 50th year of the Does God Exist ministry, we want to thank you for your support, encouragement, and prayers. We pray that 2018 has been a blessing to you, and there will be even greater things in 2019. This is from John and Cynthia Clayton, Roland Ernst, Linda Glover and Carl Markison, the Does God Exist team, as we celebrate our 50th anniversary. And so we'll finish this by saying, Happy New Year!